Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So if you have filled your car recently, you might have noticed that details about E10 fuel are on display in petrol stations. It's the new, more environmentally friendly petrol. It's going to be introduced from July. But some drivers are concerned that it just mightn't suit their vehicles. And Christina Finn is political correspondent for thejournal.ie and is on the line with Bob Flavin, who's a motoring journalist. And thank you both for being with us. Christina, I'll start with you. The switch is coming in July. So what's going to happen then?
Yeah, so from July 1st, people probably would have noticed, as you said, those signs on the forecourts that the switchover will happen to E10 petrol. At the moment, Ireland uses E5 petrol, but we'll be moving towards E10, much like many other European countries, as well as Northern Ireland and the UK. They all use E10. So the issue was raised in the Dáil last week and in the Shannon by a number of politicians, just raising concerns about the switchover, whether drivers know enough about it, particularly those that own older cars.
Okay, so Bob, you might tell us about the concerns there that this E10 won't suit older cars. Is that right?
It is right, but I want to be a car now, 2000, maybe before 2000, particularly small engine cars. Ethanol is corrosive. It also makes different kinds of explosions than the normal sort of petrol does. It's more flammable, if you know what I mean. So the combustion chambers are under pressure at a higher rate, and that may dislodge things that are built up inside the engine on an older car, which can cause damage over time. Probably won't damage you from the first fill, but if you were continually filling E10 into an older car, you are going to suffer some combustion problems.
So if you have an older car, you're not going to have a choice after July. You're going to have to put this stuff into your car, which might potentially cause this damage.
It will, yeah. Now, they will continue selling E5 for a number of years, I reckon, because there's a lot of cars on the road that are older and will require this. There's actually a list of cars that will be particularly damaged by it, and it's available on the UK government website rather than our own. But most cars will suffer some problems. Older cars will suffer some problems with this because it changes how the combustion chambers work. Mm-hmm. It's like changing the blood in your car. You know, you're essentially changing how the car runs. And it will cause problems over time.
And Bob, how does it perform on an environmental level? Like, clearly it's greener, right?
Well, it depends on how you quantify greener. So essentially it's not a fossil fuel. We get it from oilseed rape, for instance, be one of the things that you use for it. Anything that's kind of vegetation based. So 10% of your fuel then is renewable. And that's the essential part of what they're after. Now, how green the actual product is or how much it doesn't lower your CO2, and you're certainly going to use more fuel. According to what the UK public are saying, that they're using more fuel on their daily commute, which is more fill-ups per year. So I don't know how green it's going to turn out to be if we're going to use more of it.
Christina, you did a long piece on thejournal.ie over the weekend on all of this. And what did you find out? Did you find that there was a difference in fuel consumption and value for money when the switch happens, when people move to E10?
Yeah, so there seem to be concerns raised in the UK when the switchover happened that the fuel economy aspect of it wouldn't add up. I think even on the gov.ie website, it does mention that there's perhaps a 1% difference in terms of, you know, the distance, I suppose, the bang for your buck you're going to get from filling the tank with E10 rather than E5. And this was, you know, an issue that was raised by a number of senators and TDs saying, you know, the cost of living crisis at the moment. We have the excise cut, coming back up, I think, on June 1st, you know, the reinstatement of those cuts that we had from the government last year. And, you know, everybody obviously feeling the pinch in their pockets in terms of groceries and fuel and all the rest. And so that was a concern, I think, raised that whether this was the right time for that. You know, the other aspect is, I suppose, a lot of people might have only seen these signs on the forecourt, you know, and whether there's been enough publicity, I suppose, around it, because the press release or the publicity really was earlier in the year that the government were highlighting this. And, you know, it's straight after Christmas, I think, perhaps it might have been missed by a few people, and, you know, we're heading up towards it now. So yeah, really for people to get checking on that website, which in fact does redirect you to the uk.gov.ie, where you fill in your car details and check that your car is
compatible.
Okay to use E10.
And tell me, do you know, is it going to be the same price as the petrol we're using now, the E5, or is it going to be cheaper?
As expected, it's going to be the same price. It's just going to be a switchover of a different supply, so we won't necessarily notice any difference in terms of when we go to the petrol station. But, you know, we're still going to be paying, I think, the same price.
Mm-hmm. And the politicians then who've raised concerns, are they mainly worried about the people who have these older cars, perhaps, as Bob says, around the year 2000 or older?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, at a time when, you know, you were talking there about maybe it's not a good time to buy a new car, and, you know, people might have been putting off making that investment or even just getting a second-hand car over the last number of years. But so a number of concerns, I think, were raised at the time that their public consultation went out on this.
Okay.
Submissions made about E10, about classic cars and vintage car owners. So, you know, people that really, you know, that's, you know, a really good investment or a hobby that they have, it's a real issue for those cars because obviously they're a lot older and they're not going to be prepared for this new switchover.
So Bob, people who have those classic cars, if they put this E10 petrol into that classic car, could they be doing serious damage?
They could end up doing massive damage. Yeah, it's very corrosive. Ethanol, by its very nature, is corrosive. It also has a different combustion level. So it will completely change. Now, vintage car owners and classic car owners will be used to this conversation because we went from leaded fuel to unleaded fuel, and they had to make that change as well. You could get a lead additive for a while, then it changed how the car runs. This is another change. We've moved on to E5, now on to E10. But the big deal here is the way it combusts in the car. So corrosive nature means it's going to corrode bits of metal it touches. You may end up with oil leak. Very old cars have metal fuel tanks, which can rust through. Most of them have been changed now, but they're still there. So that kind of stuff, that corrosive nature of it, will definitely put it there. And then stresses on the engine, which will start pushing the rubber seals and stuff, gaskets. It'll push the cars to their limit, really, for no extra benefit for the vintage car owners, who only really take them out, you know, a couple of months over the summer. They take them every Sunday out. So it's going to be a big problem for them.
But the E5 will be available for a time, and it's eventually going to be phased out, is it? They won't be able to get the petrol that they need.
No, they won't be able to get the petrol unless they hold on to it in some sort of specialist system or something. It'll have to be an internal club matter to be able to get a hold of it, because the way the green agenda is going at the moment, we're going to have to move to this E10 and then eventually they'll phase that out into something else as well to make it more environmentally.
So Bob, there's another obvious consequence here, that there could be a knock-on, couldn't there, in the second-hand car market. What would it mean for that?
It would be a huge concern. If you're thinking about buying a used car, and even if it's younger than 2000, so we're talking about 2010 cars are included in this as well, or just a handful of them. But if you have one of those cars that's on a list that won't run an E10, well, sadly, your car is kind of kaput. You've got to get rid of it now because no one's going to want that, because the fuel that you run on won't be available.
So remind us now where we find this list again, because I think when you mention a 2010 car, anyone who's thinking of buying a secondhand will be in a rush to go and check whether it's compatible with E10.
It's actually on the UK government's website. On the journal has a link on the bottom of it as well, if you're looking at the article Christina put up there. It's on a link on the bottom of that, but it's on the UK website. You put in what car you've got and it shows the list of engines that are not available to run on E10.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so very important for people to have a look at that. Christina, do you expect that this is going to annoy consumers, people who have the 2010 car or an older car? And is the government, I said you did this big article on this, are you hearing anything about a new information campaign now to let people know again that it's happening?
Yeah, I think there will be frustration that it is, you know, we're heading into the summer months and this is coming, you know, very fast upon people. I know there was a publicity or a press release at least earlier in the year. But, you know, it is a huge issue for people in terms of, you know, you use your car every day, it's a huge expense. You know, people are really looking at what they're spending month to month now. And I think there will be frustration there, and perhaps the government will have to, I think, step up the increased publicity, because I just don't think a poster on a forecourt telling people that's going to switch over is going to be enough, really, for people to get prepared.
Bob, what about the lawnmower?
The lawnmower, the chainsaws, anything that runs on a two-stroke or even just small four-stroke engines are going to have bigger problems with this than anyone else, because again, it's down to the way it combusts and its corrosive nature. Even filling up a fuel tank of the lawnmower can be an awful messy thing with, you know, funnels and stuff you're pouring in. spilling it on the outside of the engine may cause corrosive elements to the outside too. So it's all going to come down to that. And I think this is going to be a bigger problem long term than we expect it to be. We're just expecting people to either change their car, their motorbike, even a two-stroke scooter will have problems with this. So
a fishing vessel. We've had a listener in touch about a fishing vessel. It's a whole other category of machines that could be affected.
Yeah, outboard motors, all them kind of small, either two-stroke or four-stroke small engines will definitely not be able to cope very well with this because of the volume of explosions inside the engine is going up because ethanol is much more explosive than petrol.
Bob Flavin, motoring journalist, thank you very much. And Christina Finn, political correspondent with the journal.ie. Now, in the headlines, a report has found that children with complex physical and emotional needs were confined to the first floor of their home for 8 weeks in the past year because the lift was broken. That brings us to the end of the programme. Thank you for listening. You can catch up on anything you might have missed on this morning's show on the RTE Radio app. Thank you very much to the team. The programme today was produced by the series producer Alistair McConnell, research by Emma Cole. Our broadcast coordinator, Stephen Higgins, and Damien Chanel was on sound. It's over now to Louise.